This is James Sandy for 93.7 Express FM. I'm very pleased to be with Sonia and Glenn from Echo Valley, hiding out in the back room of the Cellars. Welcome, lovely to see you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Cellars is somewhere you've been to before, I think.
Yeah, we have. With another incarnation, so to speak. Uh-huh. We have a thing called Calm of Zero.
Yes.
We came here about a year ago and did a show and I really enjoyed it.
It's a great venue, isn't it? It's a great vibe.
It's a lovely venue. It's really nice. I really like it.
There's an intimacy, I think, with the audience.
It is, yeah. I remember that being really nice. Yeah.
The people are really nice here, actually.
They do treat you well. I found that in my time. So I'm going to ask you about Calm of Zero in a little bit. But first of all, I want to talk to you about Echo Belly, because obviously you're touring at the moment acoustically with the kind of, I suppose, back catalogue of Echo Belly. Is that how you describe it? Tell me how that came about.
Yeah. Well, we had kind of requests, shall we say, from various people to do something. Hmm. We've always been reluctant to do it. And we, because me and Sonia, we started this thing called Calm of Zero, which is, we've done a couple of acoustic mini albums. Mm-hmm. But one night we were sitting, listening to some of the old songs, so we thought it'd be nice to do these songs again, you know. And we kind of, you know.
They needed taking out on the town, was it?
Well, we kind of wanted to have another go at them, you know, especially the acoustic. So we wrote them in the first place, and it's kind of nice to play them the way they were written, so to speak, you know. Mm. So that's one of the reasons we're doing this. So.
It's almost like a shame, you know, when you write loads of songs and they've got such history or personal meaning, it's almost a shame just to leave them behind. Mm. So we thought, oh, come on, let's just have fun with it. I mean, it's not the greatest hits tour. It's just a mixture of really well-known songs and more obscure songs, things that were, you know, favourites of ours as well as the fans.
So tell me how the songs have evolved, because obviously lyrically they're still intact, I think, aren't they? Sort of not chopped and changed too much, but tell me how acoustically they're different.
They're actually pretty similar to as much as possible.
Yeah.
Obviously it's not a five-piece band, it's just two of us. As much as possible.
Okay, excellent. So Echo Belly started in about 92, is that right? Is that when Echo Belly emerged?
93, I think.
93?
Yeah,
around about that.
Yeah, around that time, yes.
And the first album was Everyone's Got One, which was a big album, wasn't it? It was quite a...
Yeah.
And it was reasonably successful, I think. Is that
fair? Yeah, it was. Yeah, we were well chuffed with it when it came out. I did really well, yeah.
I was saying to Sonia earlier that I saw Echo Belly around, I think it must have been about 94, I think it was.
Okay.
When I was a student, and you were great.
Whereabouts?
It was at Lancaster, at the Sugar House.
Oh, okay. I remember Lancaster.
A strange venue, but it was a good gig.
Excellent.
There we go. So, tell me about Echo Belly's kind of manifesto, if you like. Kind of what drives Echo Belly? Is it angst and frustration? A lot of the songs, certainly a lot of things you read online, make references to kind of, I suppose, sexual politics focus. And I never get that from when I hear it. So tell me what kind of drives Echo Belly. What are you in it to do? What are you in it to kind of to say, as it were?
I'm not in it to say anything personally. I always consider myself a bit of a voyeur. I mean, I don't do that in a sexual way. I love to people watch. I love to study, not study, but just I love to be aware of all the different types of emotions that human beings are capable of.
It's also interesting because these songs were written quite a long time ago, and you were different people then, you know. I mean, I find it personally hard to relate to some of the songs now, not necessarily in a bad way, but I can't even remember writing them, and I was a different person, you know. And
so they've kind of matured as you have, is that what you're
saying? Yeah, that's what we kind of picked songs that we felt really comfortable playing, you know, and but it is hard sometimes to play songs that you wrote such a long time ago, you know.
There is a focus, I think, isn't there, about a lot of the Echo Belly songs about relationships and about love. Is that fair to say?
Because I never get any.
No, fair enough. I mean, that's not perhaps any more than any other band in terms of, you know, kind of, you know, folk. A lot of songs are love songs, aren't they?
I think they go deeper than that, than romantic love. I don't think it's so much about romantic love. It's more about, you know, loyalty and friendship, and you know,
touch, human relationships, not
yeah,
not just kind of,
you know, yeah. No, yeah, I'm in love, but not in a romantic sense, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, it's ironic that some of the songs that are seen in a certain way are probably the most romantic versions of my lyrics, and very often they're just totally, you know, missed.
Yeah. Do you think? I guess you know, the sort of the critical kind of world, if you like, kind of does pick up on the wrong thing sometimes, or kind of it puts a slant on stuff that perhaps isn't there, and it kind of.
Yeah, it's interesting actually when you first start getting press and you read about what you're supposed to have written and. How wrong people can often get it, but that's fine because it's an interpretation, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day. As soon as you've written something, it doesn't belong to you. I mean, it does legally.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's out there.
Yeah.
And it's really up to people to take what they want from
it. Gets
it.
Its own life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So Ekinbilly, correct me if I'm wrong, have had 5 studio albums, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the question I'm begging to ask is that is 5 and done, or are there other Ekinbilly things
well,
in the pipeline? Or
we don't know.
Okay.
We don't, I mean, doing this made us think, well, perhaps, you know.
It's parked, but not off the road completely.
No, not entirely, you know, just deregistered for a while.
We just had a meeting with a management company who really want us to get a band together as Ekinbilly and do another album. So if you know, it's suddenly doors have been opened, so you're probably the first to know.
Oh, excellent. Well, an exclusive. We'll bag that, as they say. I mean, it's an interesting time at the moment because we have a number of, I suppose, what you would loosely call indie bands re-emerging. And you know, take Suede, for example, who've you know come back in massive.
Actually, it's their management.
Well, they're even better. You know, they've come back in massive fashion, and you know, each of them have had a number of solo projects and side projects and all those kind of things. The lineup's obviously a bit different to the original one, but they've come back with the sound, and their new album is very much a Suede album, isn't it? You know, again, it comes back to that, doesn't it? It comes back to the sound of the songs, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I don't think we necessarily want to make the same sound. Because if you listen to our albums, they have changed. The last two albums, I would say, are closer to the B-sides of original Ekinbilly, you know, the more experimental side.
Mm. Is that what you do with B-sides? I'm always interested to ask that for bands, you know. Is the B-side always the experimental stuff that people think, they won't get that on the album?
It
or is it kind
of,
let's do something crazy for a B-side?
Well, we usually, with a B-side is, A, the pressure is off, shall we say. You know, you don't have to necessarily have, you know, a song that is, you know, commercial or likeable or hummable or whatever. You can kind of do what you want on a B-side. Mind you, don't really have B-sides anymore, but
I guess you're right, it's a kind of old fashioned idea, isn't it, the B-side?
It is,
although vinyl is very popular, I think.
Yeah, it is, still,
you're right, people kind of go for track 1 and track 7 or something, don't they?
Yeah.
Just randomise it. So
yeah.
Let's move and talk about Calm of Zero, which you mentioned. So this is a kind of, I suppose, an offshoot project, or is it a different incarnation, or is it what? How did you come to that? How did that emerge?
Everybody in Ekinbilly kind of went their separate ways, and Glenn and I don't think we'll ever stop writing individually or together, so we just decided to do something, just the two of us. And the idea was to be able to let this thing evolve. You know, if we want to go and work in the Moroccan desert with a bunch of local musicians, we'll do that. You know, it was very much a let's see what happens with it. So it's an idea in progress.
So was the process different for Calm of Zero in terms of, you know, as you say, you're kind of a songwriting partnership, but did you purposely apply different ways of doing things, or did it just
come
naturally?
Yeah, it was with Ekinbilly, we got signed off to the third show. We never, you know, 3 gigs, I've never been in a band before, and that's it. We've got loads of record companies chasing us, and it was just, you know, we didn't do the apprenticeship thing that a lot of people do, so I had to learn.
Do that now.
Do the wrong way.
Exactly, but we're Calm Zero. There's no record deal, there's no management, there's nothing. It's just the two of us, iTunes, and, you know, various little outlets and things, so it's total freedom, but there's no major label or anything behind it, so it's completely the reverse.
Does that bring it back to kind of not basics, but that kind of, you know, does that allow you to refine it in a different way?
You get restrictions monetarily,
I suppose,
but you also get the freedom in every other way, because you've got no A&R person, no one telling you what you can and cannot do, or we want a single or whatever, so you know, it works both ways.
So with Karma Zero, you've done two EPs, is that right? You've done a couple of kind of mini albums.
Yeah, mini albums, six songs on each, yeah. We've done, Acoustic Sessions 1 and 2, yeah.
Snappy titles.
Yeah.
Snap them up. So are you on the point of putting an album together for that, or are you kind of...
Well, the idea was to put a band together with Karma Zero, not just keep it acoustic, but put a band together. But then this thing, Echo Belly, came in and put a spanner in the works. So we don't know now what we're going to do, whether we're going to go with Echo Belly or whether it's going to be Karma Zero.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, to be honest with you. It is difficult when you go kind of so-called side projects. But at the end of the day, we're talking about a brand here, really, the name of the band, Echo Belly or whatever it might be. People are more reluctant to come and watch the band Echo Belly than...
And where did that brand come from? Where did that name come from? Because again, you read lots of things online and it says the record company said they were really hungry. And I thought, did that mean you missed lunch or something that day? Or
very often you find explanations, to fit afterwards. But no, in this case, it was a friend of ours, sadly passed away many years ago, who came up with a name. Just chucked a lot of names at us, really. And...
Is it something about kind of banging against your chest when you kind of want to get something off your chest? Is that the feeling behind it?
For me, it was about being hungry for something. That sort of emptiness, that longing, that desire.
A yearning.
A yearning, yes.
Yeah. I think Echo Belly is better than yearning as a band name. You've had, as Echo Belly, you've had a couple of compilation albums out. I think there was one in 2001 and one in 2008. I'm interested to explore kind of back catalogue stuff, because obviously you're taking some of the songs out again acoustically. Long Pigs recently put an anthology out of their work. I don't know if you picked up on that. It struck me that there are a lot of 90s indie bands that have disappeared. We mentioned Suede have come back big, but there were bands, again, I was sort of sitting in my garden contemplating these things, and bands like Octopus and Menswear and Sleeper and Gene... Kind of disappeared. I wonder, any of those folks might appear again. Are you in touch with any of those people from that scene, or do you?
No, not
do
really.
You remember any of those folks?
Most
from that
people
scene?
Settled down and had children.
Yeah.
And gave up and got normal jobs. So I think maybe one person in each of those bands will be carrying on making music. The others have just turned their back on it. So.
I know.
Usually, what happens?
Some of them have gone into production or
it is difficult. you've got to make a living as well, you know, you've got to eat. So a lot of people.
That's that hunger again, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And you move on to other things, you know. Yeah.
When you're out on the road, as you are at the moment, come to the cellars here in Eastneath. What do you listen to when you're travelling about on the road? Do you have to listen to your own stuff to remember the words, or do you kind of think?
I don't want to listen to anything different.
Do you not?
I read.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a bit like, you know, Coles to Newcastle sometimes.
Yeah, but I've tried to listen to the new Black Sabbath album yesterday, actually, on Spotify. But
that's very modern, isn't it?
Yeah. But no, we haven't actually listened to anything, have we? It's been quiet in the car, actually. Yeah.
In terms of the songbook that you're touring at the moment, are there songs that you think, or are there songs that you would not take out acoustically? Are there songs from Echo Belly that you think? I mean, you mentioned that you focus on some of the B sides or some of the not quirky songs, but some of the sort of less headline songs, if you like. Are there things that you would say, well, actually, no, we shouldn't touch that?
Well, we tried, but a lot of songs just don't work acoustically or don't work well acoustically. You know, you need the raucousness of the band. We tried King of the Curb and that, but it didn't work.
Yeah, you're right. It's difficult to do certain things with just one acoustic guitar, you know. So we tried to pick songs that would suit that as much as possible.
Now, here's a strange question for you. Have you ever thought about doing a Bond theme? Because it occurs to me some of the things in your repertoire would be perfect for a Bond theme. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever been approached, maybe?
Well, no, I was introduced to... got his name now.
David Arnold.
Yes, I was introduced to him at Air Studios from somebody else who does film music. And if I was asked, I'd be very interested. But again, you know, you don't choose to do it, you get asked.
Indeed. So. Like the role of James Bond itself.
Yes.
Which I've not been asked to do. It's only a matter of time.
You're a very good looking guy.
Well,
radio,
you know, I try. So, certainly for radio, yeah. It's been said. So how's the tour been received so far? How are you kind of...
Yeah, really good.
London well, yeah?
sold out. Sheffield sold out. We did, you know, quite a few couldn't get ticket places. And then there were a few where it was rather empty as well. So because each show's individually promoted, so it's really up to the promoter.
In terms of dates coming up for August, you're doing Scotland in August. You're doing three in Scotland. You're doing Glasgow, I think, on the 15th.
Yep.
Kilmarnock on the 16th.
Yeah.
And 17th, you're doing Wick.
Yeah.
So you're going to be out and about quite some...
Yeah, Wick, apparently, that's Caithness, isn't it? It's like...
that's a long way to
top of Scotland, really, you know, it's just a short swim to Norway, really. it's, you know, so
are
I'm
you
really
plan,
looking
are you
forward
planning that, or...?
Yeah. No, but I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be really good fun, because I've never been up there, and always wanted to, so...
Have you got enough diesel in the Echo Belly camper? That's the question.
I just filled it up, actually.
Just filled it up?
Yeah.
They're flying us up, so...
Yeah. Well, listen, Sonia, Glenn, it's been great to talk to you.
You too.
Best of luck with the rest of the tour.
Thanks so much.
And I shall look out for Echo Belly and or Calm
Zero. Calm Zero.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
The rooftops, higher than the Milky Way. the King of the Buttons production for 93.7 Express FM.